Well, good morning. That's my brother right there that was playing, yeah. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the elders here at Shelter Rock Church, and from time to time I get the privilege of doing some of the teaching. So if you'll recall, last year I was here about the same time, and believe it or not, I was preaching on exactly the same passage. So I got a little nervous when I got assigned this passage. I said, I don't want to repeat the same thing. Well, last year I talked about the difference between being a human doing and human being, and also the difference between being commissioned and conditioned, if you'll remember. Well, today we start a new series called The Road Less Traveled. We learn right away that listening to God's voice and following Him may take us on a difficult path, one that challenges our assumptions, our desires, and frankly, our selfishness. It's not an easy road. Discipleship, well, it requires discipline, but we have a sure guide if we'll just listen to His voice. You see, God is always speaking through His Word, by His Spirit, and through His body, and through the world around us. But the vital question is, are we listening? And this is a vital question because our lives really do depend on this. Are we available to hear God's voice? Are we willing to hear His voice? And do we have the right attitude for hearing His voice? Are we truly listening? Are we really paying attention? Let's pray. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you help us. I know you're here, but I pray that you would help us to hear your voice in a fresh way, God. I pray that I would decrease so that you might increase, Lord. Lord, I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, give us hearing ears, soften our hearts, Lord, to your word. Teach us to hear your voice, even the slightest whisper. Teach us to listen to one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, this passage will be on the screen, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The reason is I just like the way it renders the verse a little better. These five short verses are situated among several passages dealing with discipleship. In fact, they're part of a journey that Luke's taking us on toward Jerusalem. Luke arranges these stories in a deliberate way in order to highlight particular aspects of being a disciple. Let's read it together. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There's only one thing that's necessary, though. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Luke has intentionally sandwiched this passage between two other teachings on genuine discipleship to make a point. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, that's the story of the Good Samaritan, we learn that a true disciple is one that loves other people, regardless of ethnicity, background, or circumstances. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, we learn that a true disciple is one that prays boldly, earnestly, shamelessly, and persistently. Our present passage, Luke 10, 38 through 42, teaches us that what marks out people as disciples is their listening to Jesus' voice. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Notice that it's not religion, denominational affiliation, philosophy, or politics that makes someone a disciple. It's listening to Jesus' voice and following Him, and Him alone. Now, listening in the Jewish mind was much stronger than merely hearing. There's this unbreakable link between hearing and obeying. Consider the Shema, the central prayer of the Jewish prayer book. Every good Jew would have recited it at least twice a day. "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." When the scripture tells Israel to listen, it carries the force of paying attention and obeying, not merely hearing. You see, genuine listening elicits a response from the hearer, that is, obedience. But if genuine listening is so essential, why does it seem so hard to do? Why does it seem so hard to listen to God's voice? Why is it so challenging to pay attention to our parents, our children, our teachers, our friends, our spouses? Why is that so hard? What makes it so difficult to focus and pay attention? Well, our passage kind of gives us some answers to these questions, but it's important that we understand the background of this. This is a very different time and a very different place. This is a situation that maybe we wouldn't be accustomed to because we're so far removed from it. We need to kind of get behind the eyes of the people here. You got to understand at this time in Middle Eastern culture, hospitality was everything. It was paramount and it was obligatory. So Martha gets the word that a famous rabbi, Jesus, is coming to visit her home, and he's not coming alone. He's coming with a bunch of teenagers. That's right. With maybe the exception of Peter, every one of the disciples were teenagers. So he's showing up with a crew at somebody's house, and guess what? She was obliged to provide food and care for them. Now, this has got to be stressful and distracting because she couldn't call in an order. There wasn't carry out. In fact, cooking a meal was a long, arduous process. So here she is trying to get all these things done for the famous rabbi, and you got to also understand that gender roles were very different back then. It was a patriarchal system, and there was a bifurcation between males and females. A very firm line drawn that, and actually, women had very little say in what could be, you know, day-to-day affairs. They pretty much were under the rule of men. So these lines of demarcation are drawn, and even in the house, the women would have a position in the house, certain rooms, but there would be other rooms for men. Where they would meet, it would be something like a great room where they would hold meetings and talk with other men. Now, Martha's probably standing outside because they cooked in the courtyard. I could picture her stirring soup and looking through the window, and there's Mary in the house. But it's not just bad enough that she's left me to do all the work, but she's in there sitting with men. That's scandalous. And worse than that, she's sitting at the feet of a rabbi. Now, this is a big deal, and here's why. There were a group of people called Talmudim. They're something like disciples, but they were more than just like students. They weren't trying to learn to pass a test. The Talmudim would follow their rabbi around, their sage around, and they wanted to be exactly what that person was. They wanted to eat, breathe, sleep, everything that this person did. In fact, what the rabbi said was Torah to them. So they would often sit at the feet of the rabbi. In fact, there's an early Jewish writing that says, "Let your home be a meeting house for the sages, and cover yourself with the dust of their feet, and drink in their words thirstily." You see, the dust on the feet of these rabbis was considered almost sacred. Cover yourself with the dust of their feet. These were the kind of disciples that they weren't just trying to get the shorthand answers. They want to become with the masters. And here Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't say, "Get out." In fact, when Martha says, "How dare you be so scandalous, Jesus, can you correct her?" He doesn't do that. In fact, Jesus elevates the status of women. He says, "I'm going to make disciples out of you too." She was at the place of learning with the men. So Jesus had elevated her status, and he said that, you know, she's chosen the better part. Listening to Jesus, being in his presence, was the best part of this occasion, and it wasn't going to be taken away from Mary. She, as a disciple, was intently listening, humbly paying attention to Jesus' every words, drinking in his words thirstily. But this type of listening is, well, it's vital for discipleship, and it's predicated on relationship. You have to have relationship. Listening, paying attention is essential for all relationships. All healthy relationships will have listening, and this is important. There was a couple who had been married about 20 years, and the wife noticed over the years that the passion that she and her husband shared had waned over time. In fact, she felt that their relationship was in critical condition. Her husband rarely paid attention to her. She felt like he never listened to her when she spoke. It was like talking to a wall. She decided to do something about it and scheduled an appointment with a marriage counselor. As the counselor began to probe the situation, he quickly came to the realization that this woman isn't making this up. The wife is onto something here. When he would ask her what the problem was, she would reply, "He just doesn't seem to listen to me anymore. There is no passion behind his responses. It's as if I'm talking to myself." When the counselor would ask the husband to respond to his wife's concerns, he would simply say with a vacuous gaze, "I don't see what the problem is. I come home every day after working hard and I love her. Nothing's changed. I think that we're fine." No matter what angle the counselor came from, the husband's response was still the same. He just sat there stoically and seemingly unaffected. Finally, in immense frustration, the counselor gets up from his chair, walks over to the man's wife, looks deeply into her eyes as if she's the only person that exists, and grabs her passionately and plants a huge kiss on her. You can cue the Hollywood music. Sparks of passion are flying. The room seems to revolve around this passionate scene. "There," he exclaimed to the husband. He said, "Do you get it? This is what your wife needs at least once a week. This is how she deserves to be treated." The husband leaned forward in his chair and calmly responded, "I think I understand now. I'll have her back here next Tuesday and every Tuesday following." But real life isn't so funny. The strength of our relationships depend on our willingness to pay attention to others. God first and foremost, and our family and loved ones, and the people around us in general. We're surrounded by a cacophony of competing voices, distracting us, misleading us, bogging us down. Cell phones, text messages, social media, ringtones, advertising, consumerism, all vie for our attention. Bosses, bills, cars, and pills, they're all fighting, competing for our priorities and allegiance. These competing voices can leave us frazzled, restless, and disoriented. No wonder it's so hard to pay attention. No wonder it's so hard to truly tune in and listen. And not only do we fail to listen, but we're often confronted with the reality that no one is truly listening to us. If you're a teenager, it sometimes feels like you can't talk to your parents, that they have no clue what's going on in your life, the trouble that you're having at school or with friends, or that secret relationship that you're in that feels like it's killing you. And adults, sometimes we come home to our spouses, we're so drained from a horrendous day at work that we can't even pay attention to them when they speak to us at the door. And some of you are in marriages that you don't feel like your spouse hears your fears, your concerns, your dreams. You lie next to your partner and feel numb or empty. You're reluctant to share your aspirations or intimate thoughts because you feel that they'll fall on deaf ears. And this kind of indifference is just too painful to bear. And seniors, maybe you feel like you're treated as irrelevant, ignored, or neglected, as if you have nothing to offer others. You want to be heard, and you ache with a gnawing loneliness because so many of your friends and loved ones have passed on, and it seems impossible to make new connections. Well, no matter what our age or our gender, we all long for the dignity of being heard, for someone to truly focus on our words and pay attention, to listen to us. And if we know the pain of being unheard, how does it orient us toward hearing others? Are we moved with compassion? Are we listening to our parents, our children, our spouses? Are we paying attention? And if it hurts us, does it hurt God? Are we listening to Him? Am I listening? Friends, believe it or not, God can feel more deeply than you, and this includes pain. He can feel the pain of being ignored and rejected. And to tell the truth, He's ignored quite frequently by you and by me. You see, there is a sense in which God is always speaking. Take a look at Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that continuously comes from the mouth of God." Now, the tense of the verb here indicates that the words are continually proceeding from God's mouth. Notice the comparison, though, between food or bread. Just as food is vital for physical health and life, so is God's word for our whole being. It's as essential as food or water for life and growth. We have to hear God's voice. We have to take it in daily like food. In a sense, God is always speaking, primarily through His word, the Bible, but also through the Holy Spirit and His body, and even nature itself. These words are vital for life and wholeness. But since they are so important, how might we ensure that we are listening to God's words? Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in a book that teaches how you might be able to discern the voice of God in everyday humdrum affairs, you might want to check out Ken Geyer's book, Windows of the Soul, rather. So how might we orient ourselves so that we are listening to God's voice? Well, here's some keys to listening to God's voice. To hear God's voice, we must be available, willing, and humble. Why is it so hard to just be present in the moment, assuming that we intentionally carve out some time to be in a particular physical place, like a quiet room or a prayer closet? Why is it that our minds and our bodies seem to be in two different locations? Why do we sit down to study the Bible and listen for God's word speaking to us through it, but our minds are on bills and work and kids or spouses or sports or dot, dot, dot? You fill in the blank. We try to pray, but immediately our minds wander off to other concerns, appointments, our phones, our worries, our domestic duties. We're really not that much different than Martha. We shouldn't give her such a hard time. Distractions crowd our lives. We take a walk or go on a vacation that's supposed to be relaxing and contemplative, yet we're constantly distracted, unable to take in the beauty around us. We ruminate on ideas and concerns, unable to sleep. We've missed God's handiwork in nature, his artistry, from the beauty of flowers to the awesome power of ocean waves. We end up needing a vacation from our vacation. This ought not be. When was the last time that you sat quietly listening for God to speak to you? When was the last time you said, God, for the next 10 minutes or for however long, I'm going to sit right here and wait for you to speak to my heart? I need to hear your voice. I thirst for your words. Now, these are searching questions, friends, but answering them in a practical, concrete way is essential. So what are some of the practical steps that we can take to make ourselves available to hear God's voice? Well, we can start with availability. Now, this slide is very small, which ought to teach us to listen more than to look, right? Sometimes we can't always see what God's doing, so we better listen for his voice. Let me see if I can help flesh these out for you. We've got to be available, so we have to prioritize prayer. That means both the speaking and the listening components. Intentionally silence the noise and competing voices around you. Deliberately turn off distractions, phones, computers, music, and TVs. When was the last time you actually unplugged? Realize that you have one mouth and two ears. You should listen twice as much as you speak, because prayer really is hearing God's voice as well as talking to him. Schedule consistent, frequent, periodic times of prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Attend church. This seems like a no-brainer, so that God can speak to you through his body, encourage you through friends, people of faith. Now, after making ourselves available, we must be willing to listen to God's voice. Remember when I said that listening and obeying were inextricably linked? To truly listen is to also obey. Some of us avoid trying to listen to God because we're afraid of what he might say or require of us. We may not be willing to give up that illicit relationship. We may not want to turn away from our selfishness or things that make us feel good. We may not want to give up drugs, our selfish ambitions, or our pursuit of materialism. But we should trust the one who loves us, who's all wise, has always got our best interest in mind. I mean, he proved his willingness and his love for us when he died on the cross. So here's some practical considerations. Willingness. Predispose yourself to yield to reason and love. Sometimes we harden our heart and someone tells us something that's actually good, it's reasonable, but we're resistant to it. You need to make up your mind. When someone's being reasonable, hear them out. God will reason with you. Did you know that? And if someone loves you, they really should have your best interest at heart. Yield to love, because this person isn't going to be doing something for selfish reasons if they love you. Be willing to hear people who speak to you out of love. Keep your heart soft, because a hard heart will have deaf ears. Understand that obedience brings blessing. Lost it. There we go. Obedience. Obey. Obedience is a fortress. It will protect us. If you want to know where to be safe and secure, stand in the fortress of obedience. Obedience brings blessing. Now, this willingness is not easy. It's easy for me to say. But the reason it's not easy is because there's this insidious part of us that wars against it. Pride. Pride is a sneaky kind of selfishness and independent attitude that tells us that we can do good things apart from God, that we have life in ourselves. But friends, we don't have life in ourselves. We're just branches. And if we're cut off from the vine, we will wither away in our own selfishness and die. Pride, independence from God, is a deceptive illusion. Dependence on Him is life-giving. So what is the antidote for pride? So that we can truly listen to God's voice? Well, it's humility. Humility depends on God. It can't be independent of Him ever. You see, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He pours out His empowering presence on the humble. You see, I'll let you in on a little secret. The place of humility is the place of honor. The place of humility is the place of honor. Mary understood this. Notice where we find her listening. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord and listened to what He was saying. You see, listening is a posture. It's humility. Never forget that grace flows downhill. Grace flows downhill. So position yourself lowly so you can receive His grace. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she drank in His words thirstily. And Jesus honored her. She enjoyed the best part, being with Jesus Himself. That's the best part of all this, the relationship. She knew that it was Jesus who gave her life, and she couldn't live this life on her own. This was true listening, and this was true discipleship. So how might we humble ourselves? Well, there are a number of ways to do it, but one that I personally found to be effective is fasting. Now, fasting is just abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's not very popular in Western culture. But it works. Now, earlier I said, in a sense, God is always speaking. It's almost like a radio broadcast that's on the air all the time. The problem is that we sometimes get distortion, unable to tune in to the precise frequency. The station is on, the words are being said, but the dial isn't tuned in. Well, fasting helps us to adjust the dial because it is a type of self-humbling. Fasting helps to get us out of the way so that we can hear God's voice more clearly. It helps to posture us so that we can receive God's grace. Well, we're about to enter the Lenten season, which is a time that we intentionally make space for listening to God's voice. And fasting can be an important component of this. Now, I'd like to invite everybody here, if you're willing and want to, you know, ante up, so to speak, and take this listening thing to a new level, I want to invite you to participate in a season of fasting of some kind. Now, this is not going to be legalistic. This is going to be as you've purposed in your heart. If this is something you might want to do or be interested in, take out one of these welcome cards, write your name and email address on it, and write on the back of it, "Listening in Lent." And then we'll drop it in the boxes in the back, the offering boxes in the back. Just drop it in as you go. And what's going to happen is you're going to receive periodic encouragement and guidance on how to listen to Jesus better during this time. It's going to help aid in correcting our posture. So just as listening is a posture, that is humility, it's also a passion. Passionate listening is focused and cultivated paying attention. It's focused and cultivated paying attention, not distracted like Mary. Think of how attuned a parent's ears are to an infant's cry. Anybody ever? You can pick out your baby's voice in a million babies, right? A parent can wake up out of a deep sleep at the slightest whimper or movement. Nowadays, they have baby monitors everywhere because people are straining to hear the voice or movement of their child. They're tuned in, and they're vigilant about it, to listen to their child's voice. When you passionately love someone, you strain to hear their every word. Relationships, especially passionate ones, are earmarked by listening. If you've ever been in love, you know this. How you will sometimes cling to every word of the other or linger on every line that comes out of their mouth. Are you a good listener? Do you listen like that? Am I a good listener? Do you realize that God is your father and friend? Can you recognize His voice in the way that you can pick out the whisper of a friend or a loved one? Are you that sensitive to the voice of God? See, listening truly is just what the doctor ordered for many relationships. It is the prescription for healthy relationships, our vertical one with God and our horizontal one with the others that surround us. Listening is a prescription. It's a directive like the Shema, hear and obey. And like a prescription, it should be followed and adhered to as closely as possible. It has to be acted on. It requires a response. Listen and obey. And obedience brings blessing. Just as following a medical prescription can bring health to our physical bodies, so can listening bring wholeness to our relationships and every other facet of our lives. Now, all this sounds like a lot of work, and it does require discipline to be a disciple, but I don't want you to see this prescription as just another set of do's and don'ts to add to your already long list, contributing to the frenzy in your life. No, that would miss the point. We're frazzled and restless enough, right? The truth is, listening to God's voice brings peace and rest, if we don't harden our hearts, that is. Being in Jesus' presence shouldn't turn you into a frenzied, distracted Mary. No, Jesus is inviting us to enter his rest by listening to his voice and following him. It doesn't mean that we won't face challenges. Of course we will. But it does mean that we have a voice that can lead, guide, and comfort us through every storm that we encounter. See, there is a sense in which listening or hearing God's voice brings us into a state of rest. We enter into rest by hearing his voice, just like you see these passages in the book of Hebrews. There's two chapters here where the word rest occurs 12 times. And in those two chapters, the word hearing is mentioned 3 times. Now, the key to entering God's rest is listening to his voice. Did you know that your heart has ears? Your heart has ears. And if it's a soft heart, it's sensitive to God's voice. People are often restless and distracted because they don't hear God's voice. It's not only that this prevents them from hearing God's voice in the first place. Now, if you're looking for rest in your life or for peace, then it's imperative to listen to God's voice. This leads you into the promise of rest. Listening to Jesus' voice is the key to entering rest. When we humble ourselves and listen to God's voice, he provides everything we need. We can drink from the cup in his hand. We can lay back against him and breathe secure in his love. When was the last time you entered his rest? When was the last time you were able to drown out all the competing voices and hear God speak to you? When was the last time you were able to inhale deeply and just breathe? A couple weeks ago, I was on the phone with my buddy Polo. He really is like a brother to me. We were talking, and he was saying his son Micah, who's 6 years old, was using him like a chase lounger. He was laying back on him, and he was playing a video game or something. And I thought, what a beautiful picture. This little boy is just leaning back on his father so he could hear the heartbeat of his father, that he feels the security of his father's love. What a beautiful picture, right? Well, I told Polo and Micah that I'm going to use this illustration tonight, so they're well aware of it. God is speaking to you today, guys. He is never stopped speaking to you. We just have to tune in. And maybe it is that you've been distracted like Martha. You want to hear God's voice, but there are too many things going on around. God can silence these voices. And maybe it is that you need to feel the embrace of the Father. He wants you to be able to fall into his arms of love and breathe as he cares for you like a loving father. The question is, are you listening? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us, God. Thank you so much for hearing our cries. Lord, for listening to us, God. Father, thank you so much for Jesus dying on a cross, demonstrating his love for us, Lord. And I'm praying right now, Father, for every person here that's been distracted by things going on at jobs. Maybe they feel ignored or unloved or detached from society. Maybe they're going through a bad relationship. God, I pray that you speak to their hearts right now. Let their ears be sensitive to your voice again. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you would cause people to search for your voice, to humble themselves, Lord, to make themselves available, God, to be willing to hear you and obey, God. Lord, by your Spirit, teach us to listen to you first and foremost, but to the people you've brought into our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name.